Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I did some videos not so long ago about the Foxconn situation in Wisconsin, where a company's going to build a factory there, and they got a bunch of concessions and grants and tax breaks and so on from the local governments to help them build their factory. And there's been a lot of controversy about it, about whether or not it's happening fast enough, whether they're building the correct factory, what promises were made. And in all of this confusion, there have been some hard feelings. And the Institute for Justice has on their website an article about a case where they defended a local woman against a lawsuit filed by, in essence, a local politician. And it's a crazy case, but they got a good result. Judge dismisses bogus defamation lawsuit against Foxconn critic. And this is written by Connor Beck, so follow along. It's a little confusing at first, but it makes sense. A judge in the Racine County Circuit Court granted the Institute for Justice's request to dismiss a defamation lawsuit brought by the Mount Pleasant Village attorney against a local political activist named Kelly Gallagher. And during a controversy over proposed change to the term lengths of members of the Mount Pleasant Village Board, the attorney told a newspaper that the change had been discussed since 2018. Now, the activist didn't think that sounded right, so she followed up by sending the attorney a public records request for all records of public discussion since 2018. Told there were no records dating that far back, the woman went public and accused the attorney of lying in emails to reporters and in social media posts. The attorney responded promptly, telling her he would sue her for defamation unless she publicly posted a retraction that he wrote himself, and then she had to refrain from publicly referencing him in any comment, regardless of whether such comment is written or spoken. Now, the woman is not a lawyer, and she was worried about the costs of defending herself, so she agreed. So she posted the retraction that he wrote. And after she did that, he sued her anyway. So an Institute for Justice attorney said, public officials don't get to use lawsuits to punish people for criticizing them. That lawsuit was transparently bogus and had no basis in the law. But a lawsuit doesn't need to have any merit to scare people into silence. And that's all too often the whole point of lawsuits like this one. So this is why the Institute for Justice took the woman's case. It is easy for lawyers or people with easy access to lawyers to file lawsuits and force their critics to spend thousands of dollars defending or sometimes just to get them to shut up. The First Amendment means that lawsuits like this attorney's are baseless. The woman had done her research, fully explained the basis for her thinking, and, by the way, the attorney is a government official. So he has a higher standard. You can criticize government officials more harshly than you can private individuals. So he had to overcome the high bar of First Amendment protection for the speech like the woman's. For both reasons, the Institute for Justice argued, the case should be dismissed. In the ruling from the bench, the judge agreed. We're talking about public citizens trying to do their due diligence about what their governments are doing. The record here is clear that her Facebook, email, and Twitter statements are not defamatory. The judge did not find that the attorney had actually lied, noting that Attorney Smith is not a liar, and I'm not finding that. Instead, the judge emphasized that a defamation suit is inappropriate whether he lied or not because the woman appeared to be concerned with getting the truth or falsity correct. And that's the weird thing. We've often heard that truth is a defense in a defamation case. Libel or slander, somebody libels you or slanders you. If they make a true statement about you, okay, then if you sue them, well, they can say the statement was true. It's not defamatory if it's true. But if the statement is incorrect, if it's false, can they automatically sue you? And if they're a public figure, and you made a statement in good faith that you believed to be true, chances are a judge is going to rule like this. I'm going to say chances are something because we don't know how judges are going to rule. But if it goes up on appeal. So the woman said, it's a relief to prevail in court today, and not just for myself. Every resident of Mount Pleasant won today because our public officials have been put on notice that they cannot silence the voices of their constituents through intimidation tactics like the frivolous lawsuit filed by the village attorney. This lawsuit was filed to bankrupt me and force me into settlement, thereby silencing any and all criticism of every Mount Pleasant official. In case you're curious, some states have got what they call slap or anti-slap suit legislation. And a slap suit is a strategic lawsuit against public participation. And they became well known in the 70s and 80s, where somebody would criticize, say, a big corporation. And the corporation would just sue the person for criticizing them and say, that's defamation, it's slander, it's libel, whatever. And eventually the case would get thrown out. But in the meantime, big corporation can outspend you. So some states, up to 32 now, and D.C., have adopted anti-slap suits. So if it appears that someone's filed one of these kinds of suits, you can go into court very quickly, and if the court identifies it as a slap suit, you can often get them dismissed earlier without all the crazy litigation. And if a court finds it is a slap suit and it gets dismissed, your attorney fees get paid by them. So suddenly it makes these big parties think twice about filing the actions. So these laws allow for quicker dismissals and even allow defendants to recover their attorney fees. Today's decision is a victory for free speech and a defeat for government officials who would like their constituents to shut up about them. That's a statement from the Institute for Justice's constitutional law fellow, James Knight. But not everyone is represented by free public interest lawyers, and the Wisconsin legislature should adopt meaningful reforms before the next situation like this arises. So again, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I'll make sure this is clear. There's a guy out there who's the village attorney. He made a statement to the press that this woman thought was factually incorrect. She tried doing research into it to find out if what he said was true. There was apparently a dearth of supporting evidence. Either way, she made public statements in social media that she believed his statements were false based on her research. He threatened to sue her if she didn't retract. She retracted. He sued her anyways. So the Institute for Justice stepped in, defended her, and got the case thrown out. So that's how that works. The Institute for Justice, of course, is an organization. It's a nonprofit. I've spoken about them many times here. And I like the work they do because they step in situations like this and they help people out who could otherwise not afford to be in court at this level and get this kind of result. I've told people that I respect them so much that I've plugged them during videos. This is not an advertisement. They're not paying me. I don't get anything for this. I simply have come to believe they do good work. And I don't endorse a lot of things in my videos. I've got thousands of videos up, and I don't endorse a lot of things. But I do endorse the Institute for Justice. I do say they're a good organization, and I encourage you to support them. I'll put a link to them in the description below the video. But I will also let you know, for the sake of full disclosure, that yesterday I got a card from the Institute for Justice, and I wasn't expecting this. It says, "Dear Steve, I wanted to send along a new sticker pack that we recently printed for our donors and for fundraising." And she said a few other things, but she said, "Just so you know, based on their record keeping and how many people have contacted them and donated money to them and said, I am here because I saw a video on Steve Leto's YouTube channel." Okay? 579 people have done that. Now, she gives me a dollar figure and says, here's how much money they donated. I'm not going to mention that because I think that'd be a little crass. But I do think that the numbers are mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Because, you know, I'll come on here and say, hey, I've got some books to sell. Does anybody want to buy a book? And I'll get 50, 60, 70 emails. But when I mention the good work the Institute for Justice does and suggest that people should donate to them, 579 people have responded to that positively to the extent that they actually contacted the Institute for Justice, donated money, and said, yeah, I'm here because of a video I saw on Steve Leto's channel about the work you guys are doing. And so she signs the note, thank you so much for your continued support. And like I said, I don't endorse a lot of things. I don't have a stake in this other than I think that the courthouses should be more easily accessible for everyone. They should not be someplace where the rich win because they can afford it. It should be available for everyone. The Institute for Justice is a great organization, and it's one of those truth in advertising situations. It's an institute for justice, okay? So they're just basically saying, we look at a situation, we think we can help, we think we can get someone justice. And they do a lot of good work. And the number of stories I've done over the years involving lawsuits where the little guy wins because he's right, surprisingly, a disproportionate number of them were represented by lawyers from the Institute for Justice. So I've got to recommend them and tell you, please, if you find it in your hearts to do so, go to the link in the description below the video, click, go over there and kick them a couple bucks, because it does help and they're doing very good work. Without them, this woman in Wisconsin would have gotten bulldozed by the village attorney. And because the Institute for Justice, she didn't. So there you go. Judge dismisses bogus defamation lawsuit against Foxconn critic from the Institute for Justice's own website. Connor Beck wrote it. It's a great story. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Be a curator of your own life. Slowly cut things out until you're left only with what you love, what's necessary, and with what makes you happy.